This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Follow up a little bit more on Fernando Tatis Jr. here as we kick off the final hour, hour number four of Ben and Woods on a Monday morning. And I hadn't seen this yet, but Kevin Acey spoke to Fernando Tatis Jr. about getting hit by another pitch yesterday. And he asked him, you know, how tired are you of getting pitched inside and getting hit? And here was the quote from Fernando Tatis Jr. He said, yeah, I could charge the mound, but there's a reason why I've been holding myself. If I go out there, it's not like I'm just going to talk to him. If I go out there, I'm probably going to lose it. And at the end of the day, I'm probably going to lose more than what I can accomplish by doing that. Wow. So I'm just trying to stay in the game and find a way to beat them.
You know what that's called? It's called maturity. That's exactly what it is. That's the mark of a mature player, knowing I can't. Bro, what if he ran out and you know, broke his jaw or separated his shoulder again? He's more valuable to this team. Now, it's up to, and we've said this before, and we've seen it a little bit, it's up to the other guys to do the defense for him. It really is. Somebody in the chat suggested, look, it's probably too late now, but if Tommy Pham gets DFA'd, you just put him on the roster so he can run out and beat the ass out of whoever's throwing it, Fernando. Somebody tweeted this weekend, Fernando should get one bullet, literal bullet to fire each series. I said, dude, that's how that guy's got to feel now. But that's maturity, man, not knowing this team needs me.
Fernando is pretty, I would say, transparent.
Yeah.
Actually, when you asked him, Acey asked him, he said if he thought pitchers had succeeded in messing with his head to some extent by pitching in on him. And here's what Tatis said. Probably. Because in the areas I've been hit, in my hand, some of them have still been there, still hurt. Obviously, you baby flinch when you're at the plate, but I'm not putting that as an excuse. I just got to find a way and go out there and perform.
Love it.
Find a way. But he admits, you know, the throwing inside does mess with him a bit, which is probably why it continues to happen. But just to once again touch again on the value that Fernando provides, and I get it's oversimplifying sometime to say run scored is, you know, the name of the game. You know, as valuable as it is, there are other things you can do to contribute. But as I looked at the list of the players, here are your top, I don't know, how far do you want to go in terms of, let's do top 10 in runs scored. And I'll give you these names. Otani, Judge, Tatis, Soto, De La Cruz, Schwarber, Guerrero Jr., Raleigh, Tucker, Julio Rodriguez, Corbin Carroll. I mean,
those are all perennial MVP candidates.
Superstars, every single one of them. And then you keep going. Lindor, Trey Turner, Jose Ramirez, Brent Rooker, Pete Crow Armstrong, CJ Abrams, Bobby Witt Jr., Jackson Churio, Manny Machado, Eugenio Suarez, Mookie Betts.
That's really good company.
Fernando is third on that list. Yeah. That is nothing but the best players in all of baseball. Yeah. The guys who lead in runs nowadays, it used to be, you know, Brett Butler would lead in runs. He'd get on base with a little, you know, bunt, and then someone would hit a 2 or 3 run homer and drive him in, and he'd score a bunch of runs. Now, with the better players hitting higher in the order, it's only the best players who lead in runs at the end of the season. And Tatis is not only amongst them, he is third in the league in runs scored. Doesn't that tell you how valuable he is this season to the San Diego Padres?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Pretty good player.
Shouldn't have to defend.
It's Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, and there's, it kind of shows you why he hits leadoff, right? So, somebody asked who would be the enforcer of the San Diego Padres. Like, who would you least want to fight? I'm going with Ramon Laureano. I was just gonna say it's the last guy I wanted. You know who else looks sneaky, mean as hell? Is Ryan O'Hearn. That dude gets salty up there at the dish. I'm like, ooh.
I would never want a pitcher to be an enforcer, but Mason Miller, just the threat of Mason Miller is somewhat intimidating.
He's 6'5". He's got that
Joe Musgrove.
I'm not talking necessarily in a brawl.
We know him as such a sweetheart, Joe, but
yeah,
that's not a guy I would mess with.
I wouldn't mess with him either.
I mean, but you throw at any Padre, you have to realize they can bring in a guy who throws 104 miles an hour at any point in the game.
I would like to see it. I would like to see it. It's this weird thing, too, of like, I go back and forth. You know, because we got into a little bit of the beanball bean brawl wars with the Dodgers. And I was happy to see our guys stick up for Fernando. And I think, you know, Shohei did a really nice job of saying, I get it. You didn't make a fuss. No worries. I understand why you did it. And it was kind of dead after that. But, you know, when you're trying to win a World Series, when you're trying to win one, you're not a believer that things like that help you. I kind of am, but not at the expense of a win. You know, I can understand why Miller's in the eighth in a close game, I don't know that I necessarily want him dotting someone.
Really more of my take is always, it's not that I don't believe in chemistry and defending your teammates. Right. I just don't want it to come at the expense of an actual victory.
Right. If you want to see Mason Miller do that intentionally, I don't know that it's ever going to happen, because when is he ever going to be pitching
where it's not high leverage, where you have a chance to win a ballgame? Now,
if we're up 8-1 in the seventh inning and Mason Miller comes out,
could you make it more transparent?
I wouldn't even go up there if I was the other batter.
I was just trying to get old Mason some work.
Toddy got hit in the sixth. It's the top of the seventh in
it's
Dodger Stadium.
And they bring in Mason
Miller. Oh, my God.
I'm not going up there.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Hey, DR, my back's hurting. Yeah, I think I should probably.
I just pulled my quad just now. Literally,
Dave Roberts. Yeah, you're up. You're going. No. Dave, you go up and face him.
I'm telling you, man. It's been hard, and it's been hard since I've been saying it for many, many years. You know, Fernando spends a lot of time on his rear end, a lot of time. Sometimes is he a little bit overdramatic? Sure. But that comes from the ones that, you know, miss his face by an inch. So, like, of course you get a little bit panicked when the ball's coming in. I mean, we play Sundays. Play, they throw 75 miles an hour. You're like, right. Paulie got drilled on the hand. It hurts like a mother, dude.
It was last week.
25 miles an hour.
All right, it was like 75, maybe 80.
It hurts.
Right on the wrist. It friggin' hurt. It still hurts.
It hurts.
And I go, what would another 27, 28 miles per hour feel like?
You'd be in the hospital still from 2 weeks ago. You can't even fathom how fast that is. It's just so hard.
Another weekend, pretty much a lost weekend for Gavin Sheets. Got in a pinch-hitting appearance in a 10-2 game in the ninth inning on Friday.
I feel bad for him, man.
That was the only time that Gavin Sheets got into the ball game. Are we seeing, like, this is the future for Gavin Sheets the rest of this season? He is pretty much a meaningless player on the Padres roster?
You know, with Sheets in there,
There's no right-handed hitters that you want to pinch. Let's say they bring in a right-handed pitcher to face a righty.
Right.
Which righty on the Padres are you going to pinch hit for?
I mean, maybe Fermin at the very, very maybe.
He's one of your hottest hitters,
but
though.
You know what I'm saying?
Tatis, like, Laureano.
I'm looking for the guy, maybe, okay, we'll give Diaz the ninth or something, but like.
Yeah, it's not Toddy. It's not Manny. It's not Bogart.
It's not Laureano. I mean, it's not. And
maybe if Iglesias had a spot start late in the game. I mean, there's just no use for Gavin Sheets on the team right now, which is, he was so important in keeping this team, getting them to the trade deadline and getting them where they are. And you could see a scenario where in the last month and a half, he has like five at-bats the rest
of
the season.
Dude. It's tough, and I know it's probably messing with Schilt. I know it probably is.
And he may be your starting first baseman next year, depending on what you do in the offseason.
Sure.
So you're not just going to get rid of him,
right.
But man, he has gone from integral player to completely overlooked.
Doesn't even give him a second thought. It's tough, and I wonder tonight. You know, he's got, I think, decent numbers against Logan Webb. Maybe tonight's a good spot. You know, start for a spot for him to start. Maybe give Laureano a day, even though that makes me kind of sick to my stomach because he's been fantastic.
That's the tough thing. He's been so good against righties all season as well.
I know. You got to do it. You have to do it. You got to keep these guys, because, again, you got to have that guy engaged and sharp, because you need a bench off the bat in the playoffs potentially that has the ability to go deep. But again,
I know, but who again?
For me, or Diaz, a catcher. You know, that's it.
You need a home run. Fermin's not going to give you home runs. That's one thing that's
Diaz
not really
is not
going to
give you
home
runs. Nope. So Iglesias is not going to give you a home run.
So he's better chance with Sheets.
He's essentially your pinch hitter for your catcher when you need a home run in the playoffs late enough in the game.
That, in 8 weeks or whatever.
You're okay taking Fermin out and letting Diaz catch the last inning or two. That's the role that Gavin Sheets has now been left to the rest of the season.
Carlos said, we need a bench off the bat. Did I? We need a bat off the bench. Or a bench off the bat.
It's kind of a role that Tyler Wade was in for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, but Tyler Wade didn't have the
What I mean was from...
I mean, he doesn't have the power.
Yeah, like, yeah, but as far as, like, their defined new role and
sitting.
From all of the digging that we could do during that stretch where Tyler Wade were like, is he alive? Is he on the team plane? Like, where has he been? Everything that we got was, like, there's just not really...
There's not a lane.
He has such a specific use now as, like, late pinch runner that they can't really afford to use him in other situations.
Yeah,
now it seems like that's kind of happening with Gonchins.
I need money nails. It's if Diaz or Iglesias are getting starts, you'll see Sheets get an AB. That's about it.
And I'll admit, I was on the other side of the equation. I was somewhat surprised, and it worked out. Give credit to Mike Schilt that he didn't pinch hit Iglesias for Jake with the bases loaded. They brought in the lefty reliever,
yeah.
And I thought, all right, here comes Iglesias, because you're not giving up any defensively. In fact, you're probably adding defense.
Yeah.
You've got the lead. Get a righty against the lefty and a chance to maybe give the knockout blow, because Iglesias has been so clutch and good lately. But he left Jake in there, and Jake worked the walk,
yep,
to force in the run, which I'm not sure Iglesias would have done.
Fantastic.
Jake's,
man,
got such a good eye.
He's
playing OBP
well.
Remains elite, you know, over 350, even though he's only hitting 240. He's got the lowest average in the lineup, but one of the highest OBPs, because, well, not only does he walk, but he gets hit like every other day now. I mean, he is really wearing them on that arm guard, but that's just his swing. He just has that little duck in and takes it off the elbow and takes his base, and he is very valuable in getting on. And he thought, I guess Schilt's thinking there, I didn't hear him comment, but you've got a new reliever coming in, bases are loaded, he's got to throw strikes, and I know my one guy who's not going to swing out of the zone is Jake Cronenworth,
yep,
so make him throw strikes, and Jake did.
Yeah, it's like Tyler says, it means you can pinch hit for Diaz earlier. You can pinch hit for Diaz in the fourth if you have to with Gavin.
The only problem with that is in the regular season, if Diaz is in there, it's because you wanted to give Fermin
a day off.
Yeah. And if you're pinch hitting for him in the fourth, you're not giving Fermin a day off.
Yeah, he's in
you're
there.
Making him work,
yeah,
for, you know, the final five innings.
Yep.
So
it's again, these are pieces and you have to keep them engaged. You do. You cannot let Iglesias rot. You cannot let Gavin Sheets rot on the bench. They need to be engaged in playing in ball games, but finding a lane is going to be difficult for Mike Schilt. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, that means we're probably winning a lot of games, which is kind of the ultimate goal here. And I think Gavin Sheets understands that. And he's been nothing but a consummate professional. Ben, it can't have been easy. That guy was in there every day, saved our bacon on more than one occasion, and his contributions. And that's how you win a World Series. You have contributions all year long from different guys, and guys step up. And now our bench looks better than it did. And he's a huge part of that.
And not a peep of complaint,
no,
or anything,
not a word,
out of Gavin Sheets.
As far as we know, not a word, man.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever you need, you know, from all these guys. It's been really cool to see.
I'll be interested to see if he maybe gets a start tonight.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, you know, you want to win this game. I mean, you've dropped the series opener.
Well, you
the
can
last
win a
couple
game
of
with
series.
Him in it.
You can.
You
yeah,
can win
yeah,
a game
I
with
know.
Him in it.
But it's always tough to take a guy like Laureano out of your lineup. And you'll hear it from fans. If that lineup comes out and Laureano's not in it, you'll hear it on at least Padres Twitter.
We'll oh,
go,
yeah.
What are you doing,
yeah.
Mike Schilt?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Hey,
you got to have Laureano in there. So, you know, it's always going to be
a better defender, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the whole package out there, dude. He really is.
Yeah, Sheets is out in left field.
Yeah,
and you're going to like, God, he hasn't played out there in 3 weeks. And out in the winds, swirling winds of Oracle Park. Is that really the best decision that Mike Schilt can make tonight? So, yeah, it's tough.
DH him, but you got to get O'Hearn in there, too. It's tough, man.
Yeah.
Good problems.
O'Hearn at first, give Arraez a day off, but Arraez has been swinging the bat well lately.
Yep.
It's tough. Good problems. Cadillac problems.
Cadillac problems.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We still have our Rondle Report coming up. Some headlines, stuff that we didn't get to on the show today as we head toward 10 o'clock with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I get a chance to tell you once again about SDFatLoss.com. My weight loss journey happened 2 summers ago, and it was the first time I had ever lost weight without, well, first of all, feeling miserable, because I love being able to eat regular foods, not shakes and bars. I was eating chicken and steak and vegetables, so I could look forward to my meals every day, yet the weight was still coming off fast, up to a pound of fat per day, 10 to 20% of my body weight in just 60 days. That's what you can expect. That's what happened for me. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days, no exercise required, no injections, no surgery. It's simply a way to reset your metabolism, eating at the right times, the right portions. And you watch the weight come off, it really is motivational. Your coach, your counselor will just kind of keep you going. Sometimes you'll stall a little bit. They'll give you a couple of techniques, tricks to try, usually gets you right back on track. They're really good. But the biggest difference, sustainability. I have kept the weight off for now 2 full years. First time I've ever kept the weight off, even more than 1 year after losing it. It is absolutely the difference maker. A sustainable program. Friends down the hall, Jess and John, lost 70 pounds combined. Chris Scraby lost 77 pounds combined. Even Tony Gwynn Jr. is doing the program as well. You can do it as well. Jump in with all the tier ones by going to sdfatloss.com. Sign up for your free consultation. And right now, get $200 off here in the month of August at sdfatloss.com. That's sdfatloss.com. Results may vary. No surprises in your San Diego Padres starting rotation for the next 3 games in San Francisco, beginning tonight at 6:45. Sammy Levitt with your Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show right here at 5:45 on 97.3 The Fan. Yu Darvish taking the mound against Logan Webb. Tough customer right off the bat for the San Francisco Giants. They also will have Robbie Ray going in game 2 tomorrow night at 6:45 against Nestor Cortez, making his second start for the San Diego Padres. And then Wednesday's day game series finale features Nick Pivetta against Kai Wei Tang in the final game of the series. I don't know much about Kai Wei Tang.
Nor do I.
He's Taiwanese. He's got a 5.4 ERA, mostly out of the bullpen. So I don't know if it's a...
sounds like a nightmare for us.
An opener or a spot start sort of thing situation. He did start his last time out as well for the Giants, but obviously they traded away some pieces, which means they're going to have to promote and look at some different players here as well the rest of the season. Well,
Logan Webb against the Pods in his last 10, 3-3 with a 2.43 ERA with 51 Ks.
You know, that's interesting. 2.43 ERA is fantastic. 3-3 means the Giants also don't score many runs against the San Diego Padres, which has always been their issue. So they're going to need good pitching performances, you know, especially these next couple of days. Night game, San Francisco, tough pitchers on the mound. Low scoring is likely going to be the theme. And you've got Darvish and Cortez, who are, you know, not entirely sure if they're completely locked in yet, you know, both coming off injuries and haven't pitched a whole lot this season. So I think interesting couple of games here.
Yeah, you listen, man, it's always on the offense, right, to get enough runs to mitigate a poor start, or at least, a you know, 4 runs in 4 innings or whatever, and see if you can get a win and score late. The Padres have done really well scoring runs late, Benny. But you know, their bullpen is fairly well set up tonight with Estrada not throwing yesterday, Miller not throwing yesterday. You got Yuki, in case it gets, you know, blowout status. Robert Suarez, had the day off yesterday as well, as did Wandy. By the way, Wandy, Paulie and I were talking about it. It's funny because I was talking to a buddy about it separately and my wife about it separately. Wandy Peralta, when he walks off the mound, is maybe my favorite look. He had the most wheels off inning the other day. Wheels off. It was the balked in a run for the hidden ball trick. That's probably on Manny at that point. But he can't touch the rubber. He did. So they called him
for
the ball.
Or they said he was so close that he fooled the umpire as well.
Correct.
Which, you know,
so whatever. Then he has that play up the line that he does a 360 turn. Throws.
It's a good play. It just was the right bad decision.
He's 4 feet from the bag. Just take the out. And he does it. Then he walks up the mound. The hat is cocked up. He looks like he was walking out of a bar at 6 a.m. in the morning after a bachelor party. Like walking out of Dre's in Vegas. And it's the same if he strikes out the side or right. If he gives up 3 runs.
It doesn't matter. What he's just happens like, to him. He looks like he just saw like his life flash before his eyes. Like every time they pan to him, it could be a routine fly ball to Fernando, right? Catches it, got the easy out. They'll pan back to Wandy, like when the ball is getting thrown around, and he's just like, whoa, what just happened?
It kills me every time he walks back to get his hand checked to go back into the dugout, and he walks in, he's like, like he's on a 3-day bender. Dude.
It's like my favorite player right now.
I love him so much.
I mean, Wandy probably has taken more shots.
He has taken so much shrapnel.
Padres fans over the last 2 years than anybody.
No,
he's 5-1 with a 3.15 ERA this year. I mean, for your last guy in your bullpen, that's incredible. Honestly,
I love him.
He may even opt out of his contract after this year
him.
And try to get a multi-year deal somewhere else. Who knows?
Walking the more I like, he saw a ghost. It just, he literally might be my favorite Padre, man. I'm telling you, he is so, so good. So funny. It was such a wheels off inning, though. Typical, quintessential Wandy Pearl.
We've got a couple of minutes here. We can wrap up the rest of the weekend that was in baseball. Talked, obviously, about the Dodgers taking 2 of 3 from the Blue Jays, but Toronto winning the game yesterday with 3 home runs in the last 2 innings. Guerrero, Barger, and Clement all going deep, and the wheels off way that game ended with Shohei at the plate with the bases loaded against a rookie and not getting called out on a check swing that was like 3 swings in 1 somehow.
Jeff Hoffman comes in and walks.
He got the win. 5. He's
five
the first
walks.
Guy ever who's walked 5 guys in less than an inning and got the win in the game. And they pulled him. They pulled their closer for a rookie to face Ohtani with the bases loaded, and it worked out.
Oh, my God.
Somehow the Blue Jays held on to
3-2.
Win that one.
I mean, it was 3-2. He fouled one off and then went fishing, and then Mookie grounded out to third. I could not believe they lost that game. I could not believe it.
The Brewers continue to be the devil magic team.
They're unreal.
They win again on a walk-off. Isaac Collins with a home run to sweep Edwin Diaz to sweep the Mets. They've won 9 straight. The Mets have lost 7 in a row.
Mets have lost 11 of 12, I think.
I mean,
maybe even 12
of 13.
They've
won 9 in their last 10 for sure. The Brewers, in that 9 straight, didn't they have an 11 in a row just like 3 weeks ago as well? They are just almost unbeatable at the moment, and they have pulled away. They're going to be almost impossible for the other 2 division winners to catch. They're probably going to be the number 1 seed.
How far up are they?
They're 6 up on the Cubs.
Good
now.
God, who would have thunk
who were like running away with the division a month and a half ago. Now they're 6 back of the Brewers. That's how good Milwaukee has been. So everyone else is playing for that second seed. The Phillies, the Dodgers, the Padres.
Wow.
They can't really catch the Brewers likely unless the Brewers all of a sudden just fall flat on their face. So the Phillies continue to play well. They beat the Rangers to complete a sweep 4-2 yesterday. They've won 6 of 7. And of all the teams, the Padres may have done the most to improve at the deadline, but the additions of Harrison Bader and Johan Duran.
Nasty.
Have really changed the Phillies a lot. I mean, having that back end bullpen, he's locked down, 4-5 games since he joined that team. They're a much more dangerous and complete team than they were pre-deadline. The Reds ended up splitting their 4-game series with the Pirates after losing the first 2. Offensive outburst yesterday, 14-8. So they're trying to chase down the Mets now. They keep gaining ground and pulling closer, just a game and a half now out, I think, from the Mets for that last wild card spot. So they're very much in it. Cardinals helped out everybody by taking 2 of 3 from the Cubs, including the Sunday night win last night. Padres are now just a game and a half behind the Cubs for the top wild card spot, which if you don't catch the Dodgers, you want to catch the Dodgers, but if you don't, you want to at least catch the Cubs and get the home wild card series as the 4-5 rather than having to play best of 3 on the road. So there are other things to play for in addition to the division as well down the stretch.
Man, I mean, and how many games to go? We got
44.
44 games to go.
24-20 gets you to 90 wins.
Yep.
27-17 gets you matching last year's 93. What will be enough to win the division? I don't know. Probably even more than that. 29-15 gets you to 95. That could be interesting. You know, it depends on how you do head-to-head against the Dodgers. Keep this in mind. The Padres are actually a game better this year than the Dodgers against baseball. When you take all their games against everybody other than head-to-head, the Padres have outplayed the Dodgers by a game. But they're 2-5 against the Dodgers, so they've lost 3 games head-to-head. So they're 2 behind in the division because of those head-to-head losses in their first 2 series. Otherwise, against everybody else, Padres have actually outplayed the Dodgers by a game. But head-to-head is really where it's at, and it's going to be at here in the next 2 weekends in L.A. and here at Petco Park.
It's nerve-wracking. Beyond, hit me with the hammer, would you?
Yeah, no.
Let's do the hammer bit.
Here we go.
Should have taken vacation 2 weeks.
We're going to have 2 Mondays in a row. Our next 2 Mondays in a row, we'll be wrapping up 3 games against the Dodgers every single time.
Fantastic.
Either they're going to be the best Mondays ever or the worst Mondays ever.
Just horrific.
Not a lot of in-between.
No in-between, actually. Let's get to the Rindle Report. I'm excited about this one.
Final segment, Rindle Report. Paulie, anything you'd like to tease for us?
Excited is probably the wrong word based on the story we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Probably the wrong. Definitely not excited, but a
very important.
Important?
Conversation.
Yeah, very. Massively.
Strange and tough one to get through.
All right, that's coming up next year with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, Woods and I implore you, if you haven't done so yet, if you're in your 40s, even if you're in your 30s, if you've got a family, you got kids, you've got a house, you've got any assets whatsoever, take the time to fill out the very simple online questions at trustandwill.com. Get your will or get your trust ready so that your family is taken care of if something should happen to you. And hopefully nothing does, but you'll have the peace of mind knowing that it's there and you don't have to worry about it again. You just stash it away until, you know, hopefully years and years and years down the road.
Yeah, no question about it. Very simple to go to trustandwill.com. When you check out, well, first of all, when you go to trustandwill.com, you just start the online questionnaire. You've done it a million times, but this one is really, really important. They answer all the questions. You fill in, you know, who gets what and all that. It really takes about 25, 30 minutes. And then when you check out, use the code FAN, F-A-N, and you'll get 20% off, and they will ship you your estate documents. You get your documents, you get them notarized, you throw it in the desk, you're done.
Trust keeps you out of probate. If you're gone, that's a long legal process that the court ends up deciding about your assets. Your family doesn't actually get a say in that if you don't put it down in writing. But you can avoid probate court by setting up the simple trust at trustandwill.com. Again, use the code FAN, 20% off at trustandwill.com. Final segment of Ben and Woods on a Monday. Tomorrow, Jesse Agler Tuesday, and I believe he's back on radio this week. Or, Paul, you know the schedule.
I do know the
still
schedule.
On television.
I'm glad you asked, as I bring up said.
Let me pull up said schedule.
I was going to tease the Incorporator, but I didn't want to get ahead of myself.
Yes, we will have Jesse Agler on your radio broadcast tonight.
Outstanding. So we'll have the Incorporator for you tomorrow with Jesse joining us from San Francisco, the city by the bay. Tomorrow, as the Padres continue their series against the Giants.
Another big one.
It is a big one. All right, we got a last check of traffic here, and then Paulie with some serious headlines.
It ain't going to be comfortable, but I think it's important.
In the Rindle Report, coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report. With Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right. Happy Monday, gentlemen. Hey, real quick, just want to start actually with a shout out to our friends from Seeger Clothing, local company, and they just sent us some gear over the weekend.
Did a collab.
Now, Woodsy, a few weeks ago, school outing, and the theme was Coastal Cowboy.
Oh, yeah, that was a while ago, but yeah, we
didn't
Coastal
know what
Cowboy
to wear. I really think Seeger Clothing is like the exact, like, it's like coastal beach surfer, but Western.
Yeah,
and
just like me.
Yeah, just like you. And so Seeger, they recently actually partnered up with San Diego Padres. They had a new line of clothing, Padres gear, that just dropped on Friday to start the homestand. So they sent us some really cool stuff. I want to say
thank you. Are a Texan at
That's
heart.
That's true, at heart. I mean, not really.
No.
I'm just Californian.
By birth.
I don't really claim it anymore. This is
like,
always home.
Their gear's like rugged. I feel manly just touching it and putting it on.
Thick.
Does that mean I can mess with you since you have renounced your Texan?
You can always mess with me.
You can't mess with Texas.
You can't mess with Texas.
Oh, you can always mess with me.
You can mess with Woods.
Yeah,
so
you can mess with me.
You're not a Texan.
Who doesn't mess with me, by the way? I get hate mail to my house. Are you kidding me?
I had the I saw the stat on the sorry, Paul. I'll get you let you know. The stat on the board that Ryan O'Hearn is the fifth Padre in history with an apostrophe in his name.
No kidding.
Joining, well, B.O.G.,
yep,
obviously.
Right,
John DeAquisto.
Oh, I love Johnny.
Johnny D.
Love Johnny D.
A couple others, and I thought, I wonder, is anyone going to ask if they need an apostrophe for their O'Hearn jersey that Woods can go pick
send
up
me down
at
to
the team store for them?
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Just go pick it up next time you're down
there. Grab one. I'll grab an extra apostrophe for
grab
you.
Grab a few. You
I
never
like
know.
These lids, though. These
yeah, cool. No, it's
Travis
fun,
Darnot was one, and there was one more, I think. Yeah,
was
five
Travis
apostrophes.
Here? Chase was here.
Chase Darnot, you're Chase right. Chase Darnot, his brother, here. Chase. Yeah.
Did he even make the bigs with us?
He did. He was
did?
On the team for a little while.
Was yeah. he?
Yeah. I mean, a minute.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Gentlemen, I want to talk about a really, really tragic and awful story that I read last night.
I read it, too.
I saw it yesterday morning when I got up, and I was like, this is so brutal.
Dan Wetzel, great writer, works for ESPN. He put out a piece, and I'll just say the headline was, "The predatory web of sextortion increasingly ensnares young athletes." Oh. And that is a phrase, sextortion, that has popularized over the last few years. And it's basically, at its root, is kids start talking to somebody online in their DMs. They think they're talking to a person that is not who that person actually is. It's scammers overseas. They're trying to get money. They start, you know, talking about certain things and asking for pictures.
And here's, mine.
Here's a picture of mine that was very easily stolen or made with AI. And the kid's thinking, oh, wow, this is kind of cool. Mm. And then as soon as that picture gets released or gets uploaded to the DM, I was reading about like how these scammers work. I mean, once they get you,
they got you.
They already have you hooked. But once they get the picture, they immediately go into a crisis mode of like scouring through all of your social media, every friend that you have. They start putting pieces together to your digital puzzle.
This is your
friends,
girlfriend,
your family, your girlfriend. And they said, oh, this is your Aunt Kathy, right? Like, she's getting this picture if you don't send us $1,000 right now. And this story is awful. And honestly, it hit home. I know somebody that had to go through this a long time ago when we were in high school. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. And this story that Dan Wetzel tells, it doesn't have a good ending,
no.
Unfortunately. And it's about this kid in Michigan who was high school homecoming king. I mean, had everything going for him. Was getting ready to start college here in just a few months with his girlfriend, I think at Northwestern. And one night, he like said goodnight to his dad, went to his bedroom. You know, you stay on your phone for another hour or something before you fall asleep. And he got a random DM from this girl that had, you know, 1,800 followers. He thought it was legit. He has a girlfriend. He's like, who are you?
Yeah.
They started talking, and it took less than 6 hours for him to open the DM and take his own life.
Took his own life. I read that story. I was in tears.
I was weeping last night reading through this, and he made a bad decision, you know, you call it cheating on your girlfriend or whatever. He sent a picture to what he thought was another girl.
And he thought he would never recover. And he thought, I can't tell my dad, my mom, and his dad. His dad heard the gunshot at 3:45 in the morning.
He just thought he knocked something over.
He said, it's like a serial killer walked into my home and took my son overnight.
Yes.
This is the most horrifying thing I've ever. It's so bad.
It scared the hell out of me for anybody that has kids because, you know, it's like, oh, a kid can't get abducted if they stay in our house.
Right,
you know,
right.
Nothing can happen if you stay here. But this kid did that.
He was at home.
He said goodnight, went to his bedroom, closed the door to go to sleep, and never came out. Like,
I mean, look,
there was Dan Wetzel, like, chronicled several other stories. There's thousands upon thousands of stories that we don't even know about that are similar to this. And Dan Wetzel's whole point was that young male athletes are actually now the number one target.
Yep.
It used to be scammers would call and target the elderly.
The elderly.
And it's now turned into with social media and how
Open they are with everything,
and they have a goal, especially these athletes, these young male athletes that are putting out highlight videos, trying to get recruited. Like, they have a social media presence, and so they're the ones that have the most to lose to these scammers right now. If they're like, hey, good luck getting
good luck on that scholarship. Right.
I'm going to ruin your life. And
it's so sad, man. It's so sad. I'm so terrified. I think about it all the time. We have made many rules that I hope we stick to in my house of like, oh, enjoy your flip phone that will take no pictures, that will none of that. Like, it's the extremes I think parents have to go to.
Here's what's really terrifying. I mean, all of it is awful. In this one particular case, the scammers were from Nigeria.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they were able to First of all, luckily, unlock his phone, which is password protected, but they used like his number in like football and baseball or whatever and combined it together and cracked the code. So they were able to get in, and then they had reason for a probable cause search to get like Instagram and the social media to actually send them. But if they don't have that, they can't just go and claim we need to check it. If it's just a suicide unexplained, there's no reason to go in. In this case, they did, and they were able to get the help of the Nigerian police to actually track these guys down, arrest them, extradite them to the United States. But mostly
it's...
they can't even get into the phones, and it's just an unexplained suicide. No signs of it, and it can be as fast as, like they said, overnight. And the parents would even never know like what happened because they can't get into the phone. There's no reason for an investigation. It's just another sad teen suicide, and they don't even know. So most of these scammers who are internationally based get away with it 100%.
Yeah,
and no one even knows they did it.
It shatters me to think about with my kids, and it's those hard conversations. We're pretty open and honest in my home. We talk about a lot of stuff, as you guys know, and it's one of those things where they need to be able to come wake me up and say, Dad, this is what I did. You know, this is what happened. And the fact that kid felt that he couldn't do that and took his own life is just excruciating to deal with.
It's excruciating
to think about. Everybody... I'm just on, a lot of parents out there, we're just on high alert all the time. I'm just always watching, man. I trust no one as it pertains to my kids.
I see in the chat, like, don't give out info, don't be dumb. We're talking 15-year-old kids.
Guess what? They do really dumb stuff.
They're preying on what is the absolute most sensitive pressure point of a teenager. And that is, first of all, it's peer pressure.
Shame.
Like, this girl just sent this to me.
Yep.
And, like, I'd feel bad if I didn't send it back. Like, I feel guilty.
Yeah.
She sent this to me, and I haven't sent anything to her. I wasn't going to, but I feel she's just pressuring me so much. And you just want to be a pleaser, and you just want to be cool. And, you know, it doesn't even make you necessarily making a mistake there. That's normal emotional reaction from a teenager at that point.
Yep. But then the shame.
And then they get their hooks in you, and then they try to shame you and scare you. And of course you're going to be scared and shamed. I
mean, playing on the shame part of it for a 15-year-old kid.
Like the transcripts of Danny Roberts, you know, an anonymous account was like, all right, like, I'm going to make sure you have a miserable life. And the kid says, I'm going to kill myself tonight because of you.
Yeah.
Like, please, why are you doing this? I'm going to kill myself. And they say, good, do it. Like, I mean, it just the lack of human regard from these people. And I mean, like you said, Ben, obviously there's no good ending here, but the fact that those guys were extradited to the United States, I think I saw 17 and a half years in prison is what they got. There was a attorney general in Michigan that heard of this story. And kind of like once state laws got passed that like sextortion was a thing that could be punishable by jail, he like made it his mission. He's like, we can't stop it. This is not going to stop it, but we're going to make an example out of these two
100%.
Guys. And they were able to do that because these guys took the nude picture and sent it to the kid's girlfriend to try to get money out of her.
Correct.
And she kept them on the hook long enough because these people are sick in the head and they think if they have any thought that they can get more money out of you, they'll keep trying.
They didn't
know
he was already dead.
They had no idea.
And they were able to
trace, and they were able to get more information, and they tracked them down, and they got them. They found their computers that searched for like Michigan suicide. Like they were like, oh, did this kid actually do this? And they were able to bring two of them to prison at least. But
it's so
easily it can happen to anybody that I read that and I thought this is so important. If you don't want to, it's a long article.
We talked about it at dinner last night, and without getting into specifics, but we talked about it at dinner last night, and I made the point to let my kids know I got scammed this year. I got scammed out of a few thousand dollars. It was the same thing. Kept me on the line, preyed on, you know, I was in a hurry, I wanted to get this thing done, and I, you know, it happens, man. It happens to the best of them. Nothing like this, obviously, but it's just money at that case. And you're embarrassed and you're like, oh, this sucks, but you know, I can make that money back. You can't get your life back. So very,
if
very
there's
horrible.
One thing I wish I could go back and tell myself, and certainly you try to tell your kids as well, stop worrying so much about feeling embarrassed about everything.
Just
you
come
know?
To me.
You just I mean just not even even just stop. Stop putting so much emphasis on what your friends you think are thinking, when in reality, they aren't thinking about you at all. They're thinking about themselves and feeling just as awkward and nervous about everything that you are. So stop worrying about it, because it's very normal. Everyone feels that way.
Terrible, terrible stuff. All right, well, that was...
Told you I wasn't going to be happy.
No, definitely not.
And
happy.
That's all I got. I can't
go really into something fun and quirky.
Change the vibe here.
No, that's a good point. So
get back to that stuff tomorrow.
It's absolutely terrifying. I mean, I read that story, and it was like, this is the worst story I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You just can't. The parents. You go to bed one night, say good night. Your son's fine. Not
upset.
It wasn't like he had been upset for weeks and hiding it. He was 100% fine at 10 p.m. when you said good night, and you woke up, and this had all happened while you were sleeping.
Yeah. Horrible.
Right. It's not like you tell your kids, hey, if you're at a party or something, if you need a ride, call me anytime. Do we ever actually call our parents? No, we don't. We try to figure it out because we're scared, or somebody was drinking. You're gonna get in trouble.
Yep.
This was not like that. This was like, what are you supposed to tell you? You can't have your phone in your bedroom anymore.
Right. Like that's to the point. Ben's got to put his phone in a cubby.
True.
I'm certainly gonna make my kids put their phone in a cubby. I'm gonna be hanging around my neck. Come get it from my neck in the middle of the night while I sleep. I'm gonna be a psychopath about it. And I know my wife will be. I know she will be. You can call us whatever you want, but I think that's the best way, especially these days. You just can't trust anybody. It's really sad. Very, very sad. Anyway, go Padres. Hope we beat the Giants tonight.
Maybe
a little bird whistle cleansing.
No. Can you put more water in it?
No, stop. You're making it worse.
You got to stop. Turning your mic off.
Yeah, thank you. Paulie.
We gotta keep at least one mic on, I guess.
Should I leave it in here so we can use it throughout the rest of the season, or should I take it home?
Please, take it home and never bring it back.
It really drives Ben crazy.
Oh. It hurts my ears.
I definitely have that, bare feet on, dusty floors and chalkboard thing that...
What is bare feet on dusty floors?
You don't know.
Floors?
You don't get that? If you put your bare feet on a dusty floor and the feeling of the chills that go down up here and down
your
spine.
Where are you walking on dusty floors?
In a garage, like a cement garage in bare feet.
What, are you walking through old saloons?
No. Like a cement garage.
Idea.
Oh, it's the worst. It just makes me cringe. Other people must get that as well.
Stop.
We're done. We're done. We're over. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Braden's coming up next. Throwing the whistle away. For Paulie Reindel.
What if we win?
For Stephen Woods.
What if we win? Come
on! I'd rather lose every game.
No way!
That whistle every day. On San Diego's
rally whistle.
Number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.